Acts 24 and the verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled, and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money would have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener, and communed with him. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Our loving God and our eternal heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for your presence this evening, for the messages and song that have been brought to our heart, and our brethren that brought them. We thank you for the message and the hymns that we were singing together. And now as we turn to your precious word, we earnestly pray that you'll write its truth indelibly upon our hearts. That might be a challenge to each and to every one of us, speaker and hearer alike. And O God, we ask that your truth will be indelibly stamped upon our very conscience. Help us this night to rightly divide the word of God, to lift up the Savior. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. But we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to leave a thought with you on the latter part of verse 24, where the Bible says of Felix that he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Want to look with you at the matter of putting off the day of salvation or the peril of procrastination. Alexander Smellie, a gospel preacher and Christian writer of a bygone day, he said this, there are two sworn enemies of every man's soul. Their names are yesterday and tomorrow. And he said, one destroys his thousands, but the other destroys his tens of thousands. Yesterday slays his thousands. What he seeks to do is this. He seeks to plunge my heart down into despair. He tells me, you have had your chances, your golden God-given opportunities, but you have trampled them all under your feet and let them slip through your fingers. Now there's no more priceless opportunity for you. And sadly, many believing that devil's lie feel that God has now abandoned them and has left them forever in their sin, with the result that yesterday destroys his thousands. But tomorrow, he destroys his tens of thousands. He is recourse to the opposite experience of yesterday. Brave vows, wonderful promises, good intentions that will never ever be fulfilled. Good resolutions that lull the conscience to sleep. These are his deadly weapons. When I have a convenient season, he bids me tell my Savior, I will call for thee. Sadly, however, for many, that convenient season never seems to come. And tragically, tomorrow destroys his tens of thousands. You've missed your opportunity. Now, there's no more opportunity as far as yesterday is concerned. But tomorrow, why, I'll come to Christ tomorrow. But sadly, tomorrow never seems to come. We are forever living in the tomorrow. What we'll do tomorrow, what we'll say tomorrow, what we'll be tomorrow, where we'll go tomorrow. But God says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. For today is the day of salvation. But Felix said, tomorrow. In other words, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. the peril of procrastination. I want you to notice there, according to the scriptures, a sincere inquiry. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. That was a very, very specific request. A very, very specific inquiry. He was inquiring concerning the faith in Christ. Now the Bible says he came with his wife Drusilla. And when you look into the history of that woman, you discover that she had quite a background. Her father, Herod Agrippa, had killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. You remember that he went on then to imprison Peter. And the Bible tells us that he himself had an awful death. Smitten by the angel of the Lord, he was then eaten of worms. And I doubt if Drusilla had any interest in her heart in spiritual matters. I doubt if she was interested in hearing concerning the faith in Christ. Now the Bible tells us there in verse 22 that when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way. Those words show that this man was not a stranger to the gospel. Having more perfect knowledge of that way. You will understand that Christians in that period of human history, they were not called Christians. They were called people of the way. So he had an acquaintance at some time in his life with Christian people, because they were not called Christians until at Antioch. So Paul is responding to a very specific inquiry, the faith in Christ. Or, as we would put it literally today, Felix was inquiring about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, how he could become a person of the way, how he could become a Christian. It was as definite as that. That's an amazing fact, that a Roman governor was inquiring about how to become a Christian. Wonder, friend, at this meeting, are you a Christian? And if not, have you ever made any inquiry regarding your soul's salvation? And surely that's what gospel missions are all about, that people might come and hear the way of salvation. And I trust if you're here and you know not Christ, that you will not put off the matter of your salvation, that you will not procrastinate, but rather you'll strive to enter into the straight gate. Because this day is a golden opportunity. There might never be another day like this day. As we pointed out, one day can change everything in a person's life. It did so in the life of Felix. But not only is there a sincere inquiry here, but there is a sobering experience. And by that I mean that when he had this encounter with the Apostle Paul, his life is gripped by the fear of God. And that was God's moment in Felix's life. And Paul, of course, didn't miss the opportunity in presenting the truth. My friend, this may be God's moment in your life, this meeting, this mission, and therefore, you must realize your day of visitation. And trust Christ as Savior. If you're a sinner without Christ, surely you have lived long enough in your sin. Now it's time to seek the Lord. If there's a backslider here, surely you have lived long enough in your backslidden state. Isn't it time to be restored? And as Paul spoke to him about the way of salvation and concerning the faith in Christ, the Bible says in verse 25 that he reasoned of three things. He reasoned of temperance, righteousness, judgment to come. Now, when the Apostle Paul spoke of righteousness, he was simply speaking about right living. And that was something that this man knew nothing absolutely about. He suddenly made aware of how unright his life really is. Reading into the background of this man, Felix was a slave who had been given his freedom. He had risen to the rank of governor through the influence of his brother. He never should have been a governor. He was never qualified to be a governor. He was a cruel individual and exercised the authority of a king with the spirit of a slave. And now he is made up to face the record of his own life. And what a moment that is for him, so much so that he trembles as Paul explains the way of salvation. He realized he wasn't right with God. Friend, are you right with God? Has there been a moment in your life when you embrace Christ as your Savior? There are many people, and like the late Reverend W.P. Mann of Knocknamuckley Parish Church outside Portadown, he said, there are many of you sitting in this congregation today, and you are very, very religious, but sadly at the same time, deeply sinful. Maybe the picture of someone's life. Very religious, but not saved. But he not only reasoned of righteousness, but of temperance. Now, it wouldn't carry the same thought as the word temperance would carry to us today. When we think of something being temperance, you might see a temperance lodge walking down the street on the 12th of July, and it means it's alcohol's taboo. But the temperance that the Apostle Paul is speaking here, very different, because it related to sensual matters. And Felix had never shown any self-control in those particular matters. He would stop at nothing to get what he wanted. Priscilla, married as a teenager, it was said she was one of the most beautiful women in her particular generation, possessing a beauty that excelled the beauty of all other women. Felix coaxed her away from her rightful husband to live in a sinful relation with him. And when Paul spoke of temperance, he touched a very tender nerve. This man knew nothing about temperance in those matters. And then he spoke of a judgment to come. You see, as a governor, Felix thought that everybody else was answerable to him, and he was answerable to no one. Now he's made to realize this awful truth, that there is a day of righteous reckoning, there is a judgment day to come, when God, the judge of all the earth, will judge this world in righteousness. The fear of God grips his heart. And the Bible says that as Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix that was God's moment in his life. That was God's day in his life. Why other would a man tremble under the preaching of the word of God? Surely God had stricken his heart. His conscience had become a flame. Now he realizes there's a God and I've got to stand before him. But you know, at that moment, Felix encountered forces of opposition. As anybody will do, think about your soul's salvation. Think about giving your life to Christ. Think about your latter end. Think about life after death. Think about heaven or about hell. And my friend, you will soon encounter forces of opposition. Amazing thing is this. There's not a suggestion here that his wife trembled. There's not a suggestion here that she was concerned or she was interested. Because if Felix is going to go through with this matter after hearing concerning the faith in Christ, and if he were to be converted, then this is going to mean a change of lifestyle, and that's going to involve Drusilla. Maybe that's someone's problem tonight. You're too comfortable in your sin. And salvation is something that changed their life. For the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. And often it means a change in our company and a change in our lifestyle. It's going to mean a change in this man's lifestyle, in this man's life. Alexander White, commenting on the verse, said, at that moment, I suspect Drusilla. A man in this province, during a gospel mission, got very concerned about his soul's salvation. It was an amazing thing. He even went to the mission. But he went and he liked the singing. He enjoyed the preaching. And he was attracted back night after night. But his wife was not interested. And so she spoke to some of his old associates and encouraged them to invite him down to the local club, throw darts, play snooker, drink a beer. And that's what they did. And they lured him away from the mission, who had been concerned about spiritual matters. Now he's lured away into that, and he never was a drinking man. But sadly, he started drinking, and he died an alcoholic. And I'm sure Drusilla had some influence over Felix at that moment, luring him away. The Bible says, Felix trembled, and he answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. We have not only his sincere inquiry, sending for Paul, hearing the simple plan of salvation, and then that sobering experience as Paul preaches of temperance, righteousness, judgment to come, and his heart is stricken with fear. And then we have this sinful excuse. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know, at that moment, sadly, Felix entertained a fallacy. Note the words that he said, when I have a convenient season, when I, he believed that he could organize the right time, the right place, the right day to become a Christian. That was a fallacy. You and I can't organize that day. That's in the hand of God, and his time is always now. He says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but now. And he never trembled again. And we don't read of him accepting Christ. The peril of procrastinating. The sadness of putting off the day of grace. My friend, what is your excuse for not accepting Christ? Is it that you believe there'll be a more convenient season? There'll be a better place, a better time? Or like the hymn writer, just give me a little longer. The world, it is so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved. But not tonight. And you see, there are many people in Ulster tonight, and it's not that they don't know that they need to be saved. They do know they need to be saved. But this truth hasn't gripped their heart. They need to be saved now. For many have put off and put off until they've lost their soul. In November 1922, a ship sailed out of Liverpool. It was sailing for Calcutta. Most of the passengers on board that vessel, they were headed for the jute mills of Calcutta. They were going there to find work. But there were a few missionaries aboard the vessel, heading for the mission field. And of course, travel was slow and the journey was long. And the missionaries asked the captain of the ship if they, on a Sabbath day, could conduct services there. And they were granted permission. Many of those who were aboard the vessel would gather for the Sunday services. And on a particular Sunday, the preacher stood up and he preached on, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" After the service was over, a man spoke to the missionaries and thanked them for having the service because he said, "It took me right away back to childhood days and to days when I went to Sunday school." The missionary pressed upon him to put his trust in Jesus Christ. But the man said, "Not now, not today. Not during this journey." He says, "When the ship pulls into different ports, we go off and we go into the pubs and we have a drink together and we socialize together. But," he says, "I want to tell you this. When I get to Calcutta, I'm going to give my heart to the Savior." As we've said, the journey was long. And often those vessels were infected with diseases. Many people never made the journey and were buried at sea. And that particular man himself fell seriously ill. And his friends went for the missionary to come down and read and pray with him. But when the missionary got down, the man was just slipping out of life into death. "When I get to Calcutta, I'll give my heart to Jesus." That sadly is the story of many a life. "Just give me a little longer. When I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved, but not tonight." And that's how it was with Felix. "When I have a more convenient season." There never was a more convenient season. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. But tomorrow's just eternity, hidden from our view. Maybe you've been making excuses all across the course of your life. Some people say, "Of course, I wouldn't get saved because of the people that are saved." And of course, our answer to that is simply, "Well, why don't you get saved and show us?" And all those excuses will peel away into insignificance in the light of the judgment day. Friend, there's a time to be saved. That time is now. Not tomorrow. The awful tragedy of putting off the day of salvation and dying in her sin. I read a very interesting story of a man by the name of Archibald Boyle. He was a member of a particular club in Glasgow, and that club was called the Hell Club. It was made of people of debauchery, and people who were often blaspheming sacred things. And one night after the annual meeting in the Hell Club in Glasgow, Archie Boyle dreamed an awful dream. He dreamt that he was riding home from that meeting on his horse. And suddenly somebody stepped out of the night and laid hold upon the horse's reins. And a cold voice said, "You must go with me." And Boyle said he was frightened. And in his dream he cried out, "Who are you?" And the voice coldly replied, "You will soon see." And he said he rode his horse furiously. Then his horse reared up, and Boyle was thrown from the saddle of the horse, and he fell into this bottomless pit, sinking down and down and down and down, until he cried out, "Where are you taking me? Where are we going?" And again that cold voice replied, "To hell. Going to hell." And of course, Boyle, in his dilemma, he cried out, "Take me from this place." And the voice then said, "Okay, go." But in a year and a day from now, you and I will meet again. And you and I will never part. He awoke from his dream. His body was saturated with sweat. His mind was in a state of torture. He vowed he would never go back to the Hell Club in Glasgow. However, months passed. The effects of the dream wore off. The influence of his old cronies and colleagues in sin persuaded him to return and eventually made his way back to the Hell Club. He hated every minute he was there. It was now the annual general meeting again. Every nerve in his body writhed in agony. And that because of the opening statement by the president of the club in his opening speech. He said, "Club members, this is a leap year. Therefore, it's a year and a day since we last had our annual meeting." At the end of that meeting, Archie Boyle rushed out the door, mounted his horse, headed into the blackness of the night, and rode furiously and as fast as he could to get home. But at daylight, someone found his horse grazing by the roadside. Then they searched and found the lifeless body of Archie Boyle a little way down the road. A year and a day, you and I will meet, we'll never part again. Day changed everything. That day changed everything in the life of Felix. He sends for Paul to hear about the way of salvation, how he could become a Christian. But he said, "When I have a convenient season," he put off that God-given moment We read of him sending for Paul, hoping that money would be given to him. But we don't read of him sending for Paul again to hear concerning the faith. Friend, this is a God-given opportunity tonight. There may never be another night like this in your life. And tomorrow any of us could be in eternity. And my friend, if that is so, how will it be with your soul? Where will you be in eternity? Friend, where will you be 5 minutes after you're dead? When people have gathered around the cemetery, and your body is lowered into Mother Earth, your family and friends go back to the church hall and gather for a cup of tea. Tell me, where will you be? This night, is this God's night in your life? Then lay hold upon eternal life. Give your heart to Christ and do it now. There's an urgency. Tomorrow, you could be outside the pale of redemption. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. Let me exhort you therefore this night to lay hold upon eternal life. And do it now. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that God's grace is greater than all our sin. Realize no matter what sins have been committed, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Realize that the devil would come and say, it's too late. Wasted your opportunities. Or he would come and say, leave it to another day. But we ask tonight that you'll give grace and draw hearts irresistibly by your Spirit and bring them to faith in Christ. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.